You know, when I was a junior at Canyonville Bible Academy in boarding school there in Canyonville, Oregon, we had to write a paper, and Dad Schaefer, he was the very old elderly gentleman at that time. Of course, I thought he was really elderly, being a junior in high school, and he was probably 70. I thought he was ancient, but I found out that's not so. But we had to write a paper, and I wrote a paper called Corresponding Actions off of one of my dad's sermons, and I got a AA+ on it. Now, I don't even know where that paper is, and I don't even know what I said in that paper, but I just remember that. But I want to talk about that tonight from maybe a different standpoint. You know, a town was flooded, and that's, everybody knows about that. We got a lot of flooded towns nowadays, right now. But the water was rising, and the police came up by in a rowboat, and the lady said, "Oh, no, I don't want to get in. I'm trusting God." And so they went on. The water kept rising, so she had to go up into the second floor of her house, and a motorboat came by, and they hollered at her, said, "Madam, come on, get in the boat. The water's going to rise more. You're going to drown." "Oh, no. I have faith in God. He's going to take care of it. He's going to help me." And so the water rose higher, and she climbed up on the roof. She's on the roof. Helicopter came by, and they let a rope down. They said, "Hey, come on. The water's going to get over the roof of your house. You got to get out now." "No, I have faith in God. He's going to help me." Well, the water rose, and she drowned. And she got to heaven, and she said, "Now, Lord, I was trusting you. I had my faith in you. I believed in you, and I want to know what happened." And the Lord said to her, said, "Well, I sent you three ways to get out, and you rejected all of them." You know, that's the way some people are. They say they have faith in God, but they're not putting any action to their faith. Hello? You know, I want to read James 2:18 in the New King James, and then I want to read it in the Message, and then I want to read it from the Weymouth translation. James 2:18. Get it on your device or your iPad or your Bible, whichever one you got, or if you got all of them, get them. But someone, New King James says, "But someone will say to you, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.'" Now, the Message Bible says it like this: "I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, 'Sounds good. You take care of the faith department, I'll handle the works department.' Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works and faith fit together hand in glove." And then the Weymouth translation says, "Nay, someone will say, 'You have faith, I have action. Prove to me your faith apart from corresponding actions, and I'll prove mine to you by my action.'" So here it's saying that faith is great and we have to have it, but if you don't have any corresponding actions with your faith, you're still not going to get anything. St. Augustine, the great theologian St. Augustine, said, "Pray as though everything depended on God, work as though everything depends on you." You know, our faith will only bring us success when we have corresponding actions. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Corresponding actions." You see, a lot of people talk about believing God, but you can believe all you want to, but you have to have some corresponding actions. Now, Exodus 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry before because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow. So I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to go to a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, here in Exodus 3, this is God talking to Moses. Now, in verses 2 through 6, God introduces himself to Moses. And in verses 7 through 10, God assigns Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And in verses 11 through 22, God instructs Moses on how to do it. Now, when God began to speak to Moses, he had no belief that he could be the leader at all. But God didn't quit. He kept speaking to him. And when Moses asked questions, God answered those questions. You see, God will answer your questions if you'll just ask him. He doesn't mind you talking with him, and he will explain things to you. If you remember Abraham, the Lord said he's going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, he started playing. He said, Lord, if I can find this many people, will you not do it? And I mean, he was bargaining with the Lord. And the Lord, he finally got down to 10, I think it was, people, or 5, I can't, you know. And so he couldn't find them. But see, God doesn't mind you asking him a question. Now, when Moses remained unconvinced of all this, God showed him his power, and he would be with him. And it took God a while to talking to Moses till he got faith in his heart that he could do the thing. And, you know, Moses went from having no faith that he could do that to having faith that he could be the leader and lead the children of Israel out. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. I hadn't taught on faith here in the church in a while, so I thought it'd be good. That's a good idea. Now, Moses had to let go of past experiences so that he could put his faith in the fact that he was going to become the leader. Now, what am I talking about? See, years before, he was defending an Israelite, and he killed one of the Egyptians, and he had to run for his life. Now, here at the burning bush, Moses is, God begins to talk to him and convinces him that he can do the job, and he starts believing what God said. Notice that Moses, after he began to believe what God told him, he didn't sit around and enjoy having his faith in God. He actually got up and left Midian and went back to Egypt to put into practice what God had told him he could do. See, he believed what God said, then he went to do what God said. Now, if you go into the book of Hebrews, book 11th chapter, verse 24, and look at this list of Moses' action because he believed. Okay? By faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, most of you know the story, but in case you don't know the story, every male child that was born was supposed to be destroyed in the Israelite camp. But Moses' mother, she defied that. She put Moses in this little cradle or basket or something made out of reeds and let it float on the Nile. And maybe she did it because she knew that Pharaoh's daughter came down there and take a bath every day. And this daughter found this child in this basket, took him to the palace, raised him in the palace. But now when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than enjoy the passing of pleasure of sin for a while. Now, 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, and not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he be destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so and they were drowned. Moses was successful because he learned the principles of faith and then to put corresponding actions with it. Now that's where a lot of people mess up. They have faith, but they don't put corresponding actions with their faith. And somebody said, well, I don't understand this. Well, maybe you will by the time I finish. You have to learn the principles of faith first. Well, Mark 11, 20, 22 and 23 are two good scriptures that gives us the principles of faith. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now that one scripture standing alone by itself without going back and reading the preceding scriptures beforehand that tell you why Jesus made this statement. You see, he had seen a fig tree and it didn't have no figs on it. He got upset at the fig tree and he cursed the fig tree. Now somebody said, well, why did he curse the fig tree when the Bible says it wasn't a time of figs? Well, from what research and study I've done, I may be wrong, I don't know, but if a tree had the leaves like that, it's supposed to have some figs on it. But it didn't. So he said, nobody eat fruit of you hereafter. Well, now they're going back by that tree, and the disciples called to his attention, look at this tree that you cursed. Now he cursed it one morning as they went by. They came right back by that same tree the next night. That night, it's the next morning whenever they see that it's dried up. And look at the fig tree. And this is when he said, have faith in God, or literal translation, have the God kind of faith. Now, when he said that, he goes on to explain the God kind of faith. For he said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, he's looking at the Mount of Olives there, be removed, cast yourself into the sea. He's looking out across there, out across the plains, and there's the Dead Sea glistening in the sun over there. Now, you can't see it now because there's too much smog and stuff, but back in those days, there wasn't none, and you could see it out there. And that's what the commentators say anyway. All right. Be removed, be cast into the sea. Does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, and he'll have whatever he says. The first principle of faith is believing or hearing the first principle is hearing the word of God. Hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 17, we all know it. Now, you keep hearing, you keep thinking, you keep meditating on what God's word said until you're fully persuaded. Now, it may take hearing it more one time to get it. I remember, traveling with my dad back when I was a teenager and traveling with him. And then even when I was in college then, going to Bible college, we went to preach for this one church. And my dad, he didn't like to preach on Sunday morning at the churches. He held meetings in the church. He always wanted a pastor to preach. He said he thinks the pastor should preach. But the pastor finally persuaded him to preach on that Sunday morning. So, of course, how many of you ever heard a man by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin, which is my father, how many of you ever heard him preach? How many of you ever heard him preach about this same scripture that I'm talking about tonight? See, it's so much a part of me. You know, it's, I mean, I heard it thousands of times. But he preached it this morning, that Sunday morning, and the main deacon in the church came, businessman, he came down after service. I was standing there, and he said, "Brother Hagin, this is the seventh revival you have helped in this church over the past several years, 10 years, I think he said." And he said, "And I got it this morning. I got it this morning." Now, he had heard that preach seven other times. And those meetings back then were, 1 week was short. Usually it was 2 weeks, sometimes three. Anybody old enough remember when we used to have what they call them revivals? And they just didn't go 2 or 3 days. Sometimes they go a whole month. Anybody ever been in one and went the whole month? Yeah, sometimes longer than that. But he got it. See, it's all hearing it over and over again. It may take hearing it more. Now, the second principle is believing the Word of God. Believe that you receive what you need. Believe that you can have what the Word of God says you can have. Now, the third principle of faith is confessing with your mouth and acting on what you believe. That's the three principles of faith. I learned them from my dad as a kid. I've seen him operate them. I've learned to operate them myself. I've seen my family learn to do that. Now, take action by confessing what God has spoken in the Word, okay? And then take action by stepping out to do it. Not just confess it, do it. See, now, okay, here's an example. Okay, say you need a vehicle, okay? Say you need a vehicle. And you say, "Okay, God, you said you'd supply all of our needs according to riches and glory." Now you can start believing for a vehicle, okay? Then you have to act on what you believe. You begin to confess with your mouth. "God shall supply all my needs, and based on that, I believe and I confess I get a vehicle." All right, that's good. But now you need some more corresponding actions going along with that. Go clean out the garage so you can get a vehicle in there. That's a corresponding action. That action says, "I believe what I say." Now, you go to the car lot and begin to look at vehicles until you find the one you want. Now, instead of saying, "I'm believing God for a vehicle," you begin to say, "Thank you, Lord," and begin to confess the name of the vehicle, whatever it is. Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? Hello. See, that's the way it works. See, Weymouth said, you have faith and I have actions. Prove your faith apart from corresponding actions, and I'll prove my faith by my actions or by my corresponding actions. Hello, you there? You going home? I didn't ever realize it. They were kidding me about it on the trip. Because all the guys was with us. And I always say that to try to say, "Hey, are you still here? You with me? You hearing what I'm saying?" And in Nigeria, I said hello, and they would all, and if I said hello, they'd say, "Hi." And I never did even realize it till on this trip that the video and the audio and the pilots and mechanic, everybody was talking about it. And I never even realized that, that was happening. I was just preaching the law, man. I didn't. All right. Now, you see, you read that the Word of God says He will supply all your needs. "I need a vehicle." Okay, now, you can start to confess, "Because God said He would supply my needs, I believe God for a vehicle." All right? Now, you get the garage ready so you can park a vehicle in it. Because right now, all you got in there is a bunch of junk that you thought you might use sometime, and it's been in there for years and never been used. Hey, I'm guilty of that too, y'all.
Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you got stuff that you put away? Oh, I might need this sometime. And it's been there for years and you hadn't needed it yet. We're all that way. I don't know why we do it, but we do. Clean the garage out. Now you go down and you start looking at vehicles. Find the one you want. Now when you find the one you want, now instead of saying, based on that scripture, that God will supply my needs and I need a vehicle. Now based on that scripture, now I thank you for the Buick, whatever, Oldsmobile. No, you can't get Oldsmobile. They don't make them no more. Chevrolet, Ford, Toyota, Nissan, whatever it is. Whatever vehicle that you decide you want. Now you start calling, being specific. My dad used to say, son, when you're talking to God about what you want, be specific. Tell him, spell it out. Be specific. Sometimes we're believing God, Lord, meet my need, but you're too general. That's too general. What is your need? Do you need $5 or you need $5,000? I mean, be specific. Hello. You're there, you're gone home already. It says here, I want to go back to what Weymouth says. Weymouth says that I will prove my faith with my corresponding actions. That's what he's saying. Is that not correct? Is that not the way you read that? Now, you can believe all you want to, and nothing will happen until you put some corresponding actions to it. Now, Dad said in 73 we're going to start a Bible school, and Annette and I believe that that's what we were here for. But, then I put some action to that. I sat down and put the school together, first one. Then it grew, and we came out here and got this property and this from there. But nothing would have happened until I did something. I could believe that I'm supposed, and I knew that we were supposed to do that. And finally, Dad came to me one day. I sat with him while we interviewed, and I helped him interview other people that would be the head of Rhema. And I knew I was supposed to do it all the time. Sometimes when God tells you something, just don't go running off. Let God work it out. And Dad said, oh, you're supposed to do it. Then I could start putting some corresponding actions. And I did. And here we are today. See, all this happened not because I believed it. That was part of it. But all this happened because I put corresponding actions to what I believed. I believed I was supposed to put together Rhema Bible College. And all of this, and I believe that it should be done. Then I went out to put some corresponding actions with it. When God speaks to you, and you see in the Word of God what God says, what do you need? What do you need? Maybe you need a job to support your family and yourself. Maybe you need something else. Whatever you need is. First, find scriptures that show you that whatever you need, God will give it to you. And that one scripture right there, I already quoted, that's it. My God shall supply all your needs. If you got a need, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's job, I don't care if it's vehicle, I don't care if it's house, whatever it is. Now, second, when you find a promise there, then begin to believe it in your heart. Third, begin to confess it with your mouth that God is providing it for. And fourth, put some corresponding action to it. If you need a job, get up out of your lazy boy and go out looking and fill out applications and go through the interview process until you get a job you need. If you need something else in the natural, like furniture, appliances, house, go looking. Go out and find what it is and then begin to confess it. Say it with your mouth. Confess what it is. You need a couch, begin to confess. I thank you, Lord, for that. And go to the furniture store or wherever you go and find that particular couch and then be specific. Say, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for that red contemporary couch that I saw at such and such a store. I mean, get, hey, that's specific. specific. That's a hard word. I always have had trouble with that word. Anybody get what I'm talking about tonight? You know, it's probably something that you've heard before on faith, but I'm just looking at it a little different, approaching it a little different. And see, I got a double A plus on that paper I wrote called Corresponding Actions. Can you understand why? Look, did you hear how good that sermon was tonight? Hallelujah. Did you get something out of this tonight? Stand up on your feet. Let's thank God that he supplies our need, and then thank him that you're going to put corresponding actions to that need. Father, I thank you tonight that you supply all our needs. You give us the word. Now we believe in our heart. We're going to put a corresponding actions with that, and we expect to receive specifically what we call into existence in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. God is good, isn't he? I mean, he is really good. Praise God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't Jesus wonderful? All the time is the right answer. Isn't Jesus wonderful?
All the time.
Ah, that sounds better. Hallelujah. You know, if you happen to be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, hey, you need to find him tonight, right here. This is your time. This is your hour. This is your day. This is your minute. This is your second to find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you're here and you know that, hey, I'm just not exactly where I need to be, then you need to come down and rededicate your life to God tonight. Or if you're here and you go to church and you say, I don't know whether I've accepted Christ or not, I just go to church. Well, going to church is not going to save you. You have to accept Jesus Christ, okay? If that's you, the ladies are over here and the guys are over here, and as we're dismissed, you come to the front, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. In fact, if you need prayer for anything, come to the front and they'll minister to you. All right. Hey, don't forget all those announcements. Don't forget the things that we need for the Rockets. Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to get that special gift that we got for them. We need all the help. Anybody can do that face painting and that stuff. We need a lot of help. Oh, hey, make sure that we get enough help. Hey, actually, if we get enough, it won't take very long. But it's the law requires us to put those hangers on those doors in order for us to have our fireworks. So we have to put those on every door in a certain radius around this campus. And that's a law. And so, hey, help us, okay? How many of you are going to try to help us by doing that? If we get enough people, it only take just a little bit, because if we have enough people, you don't have to do maybe 4 or 5 houses if you get enough people. So, all right. Hey, listen. Sunday morning is Father's Day. And Craig will be ministering Sunday morning here on Father's Day. I have to go to Canada and preach at a church in Canada on Sunday morning. So I won't be here, but Craig will be here, and I hope that he talks about me good. I tried to be the best father I knew how to be, but no, really. Craig will be ministering here Sunday morning. Y'all pray. Lynette and I are going to go up to Canada to preach a dedicated church. Some of you might know the Jarmans up in Canada. Some of you do. I see Tony and Marvin both shaking their head. They know the Jarmans, and they had asked me, and I really didn't want to be gone on Father's Day, but you know, if you feel like you should do something in your heart, you better go do it, right? So that's why. Okay, well, y'all give me a pass on that Sunday morning, okay? I think Craig will do a good job. He always does anyway. In fact, all the staff does a good job around here. You know, that's one thing we got around here. The one thing we have around here that most churches don't have, we have every one of the fivefold ministries right here on this staff. They're all here. We're all here. And that's one of the only churches I know that does that. We got the teacher, the evangelist, we got the apostle, the prophet. They said, well, who's the apostle prophet? Who's the pastor right here? All right, praise God. Hey, Sunday morning, be here. All right, pray for us and come expecting. If you need prayer for anything right now, I want you to come to the front. Otherwise, check in with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to put actions to my faith. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.